You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Our guest is Mark Halperin, distinguished author, commentator, experienced combatant, and a man we turn to with regularity to discuss the big issues of our day. Consider this your debate prep, as we're speaking on the eve of a very important debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump about the sorts of issues that should be, well, front and center in the course of this national election and the decisions associated therewith. Mark, you were talking about concealing the means by which countries could deliver devastating nuclear attacks on this country, and that it's just not that hard to conceal even the platforms for this attack, let alone the weapons themselves. Finish that thought, if you would.
Yes, the transporter erector launchers are the size of about the size of a moving van, and they move around like a moving. You know, they actually can go over terrain that's not a road because they have that kind of drive. And Russia and China have enormous networks of caves. China has 5,000 kilometers, or roughly 3,000 miles or more, of caves in which it houses its nuclear infrastructure. It could have an unlimited number of these.
These would be tunnels, I think, right?
Tunnels, yeah. Tunnels. It's a tunnel system, and sometimes linked to caves. And in Russia, they have tunnels and caves because both of those countries were very attentive to civil defense while we gave it up. And by the way, can I just say something very quickly here? Just because it's a myth that I'd like to dispel. The left always makes fun of children being told to hide under their desks during a nuclear attack. I was told to hide under my desk. I live 35 miles north of New York City. And they said, isn't that ridiculous? You know, hiding under your desk, what's a nuclear? Well, the main effect beyond ground zero of a nuclear blast is a pressure wave which collapses buildings. And when a building collapses, such as in an earthquake, what you want to do is get under a structure which will prevent you from being hit by debris falling above. So it made perfect sense, but it's ridiculed, but it was actually the right policy. And we find analogies to that in almost every other area of defense, such as, oh, if only the Air Force had to hold a bake sale the way we do to support education. Well, we spend many times more on education in this country than we do on the military.
You've mentioned intellectual fronts that have been much engaged in this. One that comes to my mind particularly aggressive at the moment is something called the Plowshares Fund, run by a fellow by the name of Joseph Cirincione. We now know that they were instrumental in putting over on the American people the fraud of this so-called nuclear deal with Iran. They are now promoting several disarmament schemes, including the elimination of the land-based leg of our nuclear triad, the 450 Minuteman missiles that are still in those fixed silos you spoke of earlier, and as worrisome, eliminating the capacity of the rest of the force to launch in a prompt way, this so-called de-alerting. Would you talk about these ideas as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, actually, the Minutemen should be disposed of, and they should be replaced by mobile missiles because that would make them far less vulnerable. The Chinese have a mobile missile on a TEL that is essentially invulnerable because we without real-time satellite spotting and guidance, we wouldn't be able to hit it. And it also has a much longer range than the Minuteman III, which is what we rely on. We should be modernizing our land-based leg instead of getting rid of it. And in conjunction with that, you realize that by moving to the Ohio-class submarine, which is a ballistic missile submarine carrying nuclear missiles, we only have maybe four or five, sometimes four or less submarines at sea at any one time. So the most invulnerable leg of the nuclear triad is the submarine, and we've put all our eggs in two or three baskets. If an enemy were to hit the two sub bases, they would finish the other submarines that are not at sea most of the time, because there are only about 14. We used to have 45 SSBNs, nuclear submarines. That makes it much more difficult for an enemy to conceive of a first strike. So we have a much reduced sea leg, The land leg is vulnerable, and the air leg, the bombers, are actually at any one time only in a maximum half a dozen bases. They have four bases where they live, and then they go on station sometimes as a diplomatic message in other places. But you'd only have to hit half a dozen bases to get rid of the of these bombers, which are some of which are almost as old as I am, and I'm going to be 70 very soon.
We have essentially gone out of the nuclear weapons business. Would you talk a little bit about the state of our nuclear forces?
Yeah, we, you know, those of us who have computers, which is just about everybody now, may remember in the early days the 8-inch floppy disks. Remember, I used to have to put them in the freezer when they would crash in order to stabilize them and then put them back in the machine. That was a long time ago. That's how our Minutemen electronics are run, with those 8-inch floppy disks now. It's the stuff is very old. It's not modernized, and we don't test it sufficiently to know about the reliability. We don't have civil defense. We don't have sufficient anti-missile resources. What's the point of that? The point of that is to protect our ability to launch a second strike, which would mean that it would be very difficult or impossible for an enemy to launch a first strike against our own missiles. The people think that the missile defense is primarily to protect cities. Well, it isn't, because you can't really protect cities and industry, simply because, as Bomber Harris said, the bomber will always get through, more or less. But if you can degrade an attack against your retaliatory capacity, then you can bring nuclear stability by dissuading an enemy from attacking your assets that would then hold him hostage. So that's the main purpose of missile defense. It's defensive and it's stabilizing. And yet we have been told now for 30 years or more that missile defense is destabilizing, which it isn't.
The idea that really took hold back in 1972, when we embraced this treaty that, as you say, held that missile defenses were destabilizing and therefore essentially banned them. And once we decided to do that, it didn't seem to make much sense to spend vast sums on other kinds of defense, leadership defense, civil defense, passive defenses, and so on. And as a result, even air defenses, as a result, we wound up essentially leaving the nation extraordinarily vulnerable to the so-called mutual assured destruction notions.
Let me tell you just a little story about that, which is a little bit skew. But in 1996, I wrote an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal called What to Do About Terrorism, Really, in which I brought up the possibility of Islamists using airplanes to crash into skyscrapers. And this was on the top of the page of the Wall Street Journal. No one paid any attention to it. And then subsequently, I was at a meeting. I can't say what it was, because there was a pledge of confidentiality, in which there were many high officials. And my role at the meeting that I chose for myself was to bring this up and to ask for an air defense, because we had abandoned an air defense once we entered the missile age, because we figured we didn't really need it against bombers, although even though the Soviet Union kept bombers, and we could have had a need for an air defense. But I was ridiculed in that meeting, and these officials who were responsible for this kind of thing said, you know, essentially, don't be ridiculous. Are you crazy or something? And then a couple of years later, we had these airplanes crashing into skyscrapers.
Mark Halperin, we have to pause for another moment. We will be right back with more, with one of the great thinkers of our time on matters of national security, Mark Halperin. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.